May be seated. So we're continuing today in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 1 through 14. And today our focus is going to be on verses 4 and 5, but we are going to read the entire passage once again to keep everything in context. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now you remember when John is speaking and he refers to the concept of the Word, that philosophically points back to the center of the universe, and he's actually identifying Christ when he says that. So every time he says a word, he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about Jesus being the center of all things. When he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that he was in the beginning with God. So that tells us right then, we know that Jesus was in the Old Testament. Many times people have argued saying, well, there's no mention of Jesus in the Old Testament. Yes, there is. Because right at creation, according to John, also according to Hebrews, also according to Paul in the book of Colossians, Jesus was there, and he was in the beginning, was the Word. He was with God, and he was God. And in the beginning, he was in the beginning with God. Then we get into verse 3 where he makes this a powerful statement where he says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Interesting how he's putting that to make sure you get the point. He's saying that everything came into being, nothing has come into being without him, letting us know that Jesus is the source of all of it. Jesus is the source of everything. So it was Jesus who was there at creation, and it was Jesus who created. It was Jesus in Genesis chapter 1. It was all through the person of Jesus, which brings us back to the idea that everything comes back to Jesus. The answer to our world today is Jesus. The answer to our world today is not theology. It's not a belief system. It isn't a certain political party. It isn't a certain political platform. The answer to our world today is the person of Jesus. Because we're talking about a person when we talk about Jesus. We're not talking about a belief system. It's a relationship with a person because Jesus is still present. Jesus is still alive. And he's telling us here that Jesus was their creation, and he was there. It was through him that all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. So it all goes back to Jesus. So we could put it this way. There's absolutely not one of us who would be here today if it wasn't for Jesus. Just the very fact we were even born into this world is because of Jesus. I've heard many say this over and over about how they just thank the Lord each day for the day that he has given them. You wouldn't have a day today if it wasn't for Jesus. You wouldn't be able to breathe today if it wasn't for Jesus. You wouldn't be able to be alive today if it wasn't for Jesus. It all goes back to Jesus. And that's what we need to be reminded of, because in our highly educated culture and society today, we kind of forget and kind of overlook the fact of who deserves the glory for every breath that we take is the person of Jesus. Now he moves on into verses 4 and 5, and he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So in Jesus was life. Now he's talking about when Jesus actually had, from the beginning on, what you find in Jesus is life. See, we don't understand life. We have a limited understanding of life because we see life differently than the way Jesus sees life. Because Jesus sees life the way life was created to begin with. And the way life was created to begin with was eternal. When he created Adam and Eve, it was eternal. It was not something temporary. It wasn't something about, well, they're going to live for a while here, and then they're going to die, and then they're going to go somewhere else. Life was just something that was didn't have a beginning or an end. It was completely eternal. And the idea wasn't the limited life that we think about every day and the fragile life that we have as much as it was something powerful and something spiritual that in Jesus you find life. You begin to think about the concept of life when you talk about following Christ as following Jesus. Now, the idea of it, when you look at this term in the Greek text, the term for life, I know this is going to shock you, but it is the opposite of death. That's what it means. Aren't you glad I'm up here to be Captain Obvious for you today? Yeah, that's what it means. It's the opposite of death, right? So life. Now think about that for a moment. When you have life, and think about the life that Jesus has and the life that he gave at the beginning with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and think about what that life was like. That's what God's desire was. That's what God's understanding of life is. And if you think about that, we don't even comprehend that, do we? Because we haven't even experienced the life that Adam and Eve had experienced. And experience the goal of the life that he brings and what he brings as the solution to our life and to the solution to our problems. He brings that life. It's the same things because Adam and Eve were created for that, and that's the life that he brings. So the idea when he says in him was life, now I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus, in verse 14, we know that he became flesh and he came down and he lived among us. Okay, and so in Jesus was life. Think about that. He comes bringing life. When Jesus came, you go to Jesus, you find life, right? So what did everybody deal with before Jesus came? They were constantly dealing with death. They were constantly trying to solve the issue of death. How do you solve the problem of death? Where do we go when we die? How do we make sure we're in the kingdom of God? What about the sin that we have? How do we get forgiveness? What about the sacrifices we have to make for that forgiveness? And Jesus comes and he says, hey, I have come so that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. That's the whole reason Jesus came, so that they could have life. Now, we ask the question, when Jesus came, when people gathered around him, in the New Testament, you have the disciples, you have the Pharisees, you have children, you have all these people that Jesus met. Were they alive? Anybody? Yes. Yes. Again, stating the obvious. They were alive. They were not dead. So obviously, he's talking about something different than the way we understand life. That life isn't just physically breathing, but there's something more going on with this life when Jesus came. So the reason that Jesus came was to put everything back into order the way it was supposed to be. Have you ever organized anything? You ever organized anything and then suddenly, maybe it took you a couple hours or so to organize something, and then within 1 minute or something, something becomes completely unorganized after you were the one that organized it, right? This didn't happen to me, but it did happen to a friend of mine. We were working in a grocery store together, and he was working on an end cap of the aisle, Bounty paper towels. I don't know how long it took him, to build this end cap, but it was quite a while in his shift, and he built this nice big pyramid of Bounty paper towels that were on sale. Family comes in. The little guy. Mom didn't quite notice what the little guy was doing at the moment. She was probably looking at something or the price of the beans over here or something like that. And little guy just is curious. Walks over and he doesn't take the top one. He doesn't even take the middle one. I'm talking bottom center. He pulls it out and this whole end cap comes down. All that my friend could do, because he stood there and saw this happen, was just give him the look. That's all he could do. But that happens in life, right? When you organize something, somebody comes along and boom, it's done. What Jesus came along to do was to take what was unorganized and organize it and put it back in order. So by the time Jesus steps into the church in the New Testament, we had 400 years where there was no voice of God, the dark ages. It was a time where God did not move for 400 years. Jesus steps in and he steps into bounties all over the floor. He's got to do something, right? So he comes to put everything else back into order. So when Jesus is walking this earth, when he's walking the earth in the New Testament, he's bringing life, but it's not the life that they're used to. It's the life that they're supposed to have from the beginning, which means that there's this natural attraction to Jesus of the ones who are desiring this life and somebody who's desiring more than what they see each day, and there's something beyond this. He came to bring life, to put things back the way it's supposed to be. And that's what happens to all of us. As soon as we begin following Jesus, what does Jesus do? Jesus is in the process of putting everything back the way it was supposed to be. Because before you came to Jesus, this is how you were. After you came to Jesus, he changes you, doesn't he? All of a sudden you realize, well, this is how I acted before, but now that I'm following Jesus, things are different because he's putting things back into order and he's giving me the real life that I was designed to have in the first place. Now he moves on. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That Jesus is now, according to John, he is the life and he is the light of men. Now, the whole idea of light is very interesting, isn't it? Because light is so powerful. Anytime you go into a dark room, you're looking for the light switch, aren't you? At least I am. The older that I get, I'm realizing how much more light I need compared to what I did need before. It's not as easy anymore, especially when you pick up the magazine or something with that fine print and you're like, how in the world can anybody read this? But you know, on my phone, I appreciate the fact that on my phone, through the camera app, you can zoom in. So I've used my camera app to actually read things before where without taking a picture, just zooming in so I can actually see the words. But for some reason, I need a lot of light lately. And why is that? Because, you know, you've been in those situations where you just can't see and you're trying to figure something out. That's fun, isn't it? Yeah, you just have a great time, isn't it? Yeah. Man, if it could just get darker, it would be great, right? No, nobody's thinking that. We're always like, man, if I could just have some light. Or have you ever, and usually this is under the hood of a car, it's nighttime, it's dark. You gotta do something for the car. For some reason, it doesn't happen during the day. It's at night. You have somebody with you. They're holding the flashlight so you can see. Right? They're holding it here. And just the moment you start to pour in or do whatever you have to do, for some reason they're distracted and the light goes. And you, can you put the light back on, please? So I can see. See, light is very important to us, isn't it? Light gives us guidance. His word is a lamp unto our feet. That's the illustration. And throughout John's gospel, you see him using life and you see him using light and darkness all throughout to describe the spiritual life, the same way in his epistles. It's light and darkness. John is always about the light and darkness all the way through, talking about when you are in the light in 1 John. When you are in the light, you're going to love your brother. If you do not love your brother, you are in darkness still. If you hate your brother, you are in darkness still. So John uses that imagery all throughout, the idea of being in the light and the idea of being in the darkness. And this is where he's starting from, saying that in Jesus is the light. So if you want to find light for your spiritual life, light being him shining light and being able to have a place where do I go? What do I say? What do I do? How am I supposed to live? I just need light to guide me. Well, just get into Jesus and he'll do that because he's the light of men. It all comes back to him. If you continue on, in him was life and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. Comprehend simply means to understand. It kind of like the aha moment, you know? You ever had a situation where you're so confused and you're trying to figure something out and maybe the people around you are understanding it, but you're not understanding it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I get that. Remember the TV character that did that every time she realized something? I'm not going to mention the name of the show, but I'm talking years ago, the one character who would always go, ah, every time she realized what it was. Yeah, you guys are starting to rumble around. Yeah, I wonder who that was. Or some of you, like some are like, oh, now I get it. I see some heads nodded, so forth. Yes, I'll just say that, let's see, the episodes always started out with the two of them sitting at the piano singing the song. I'll just say that, yes. Right? And what did that mean? Every time she would get what they were talking about, every time she would understand it, it was always, wow, every time, right? So that's the idea of the light, right? The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. So you don't understand it. You don't quite grasp what's going on. And then all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, now I get it. Now I see. But think about this. Jesus is defined here as life and he's defined here as light, which means he's saying, you can look at this and say, well, the darkness didn't understand the light. No, you can just simply say, well, the darkness didn't understand Jesus. Or you can just simply say, mankind didn't understand Jesus. A better way to put comprehend would be to say, to get it. The idea of, oh, I get it now. It makes sense. To get it. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Many of you have been around the church. Perhaps all of you have been around the church your whole life. You've heard stories. You've read the Bible. You have the New Testament. You have the life and teachings of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And I want you to think of all the stories with Jesus. And if you were to choose a percentage of how many people in the New Testament got it when dealing with Jesus, how many was it? It's a pretty low percentage, which is what John's getting at here. The light shines in the darkness, but they didn't get it. And so I guess the question for us today is, do we get it? Because I want you to think about the ones who got it in the New Testament. I don't have a comprehensive list of every single one that did. I just have a few examples that come to mind when you think about those who actually understood Jesus, those who got it, those who knew exactly why he was there. How many of the disciples got it? There's a story of the centurion, the Roman barbarian, comes to Jesus. Hey, back at my house, somebody's on his deathbed. He's gonna die. Jesus, I know you're busy, but I know who you are. Just say the word, and I know he'll be healed. Jesus was just overtaken, and Jesus said, I have been all around Jerusalem. I have met all the church leaders. I have been among the most educated, and I mean to tell you, I have not found anyone with the faith of what this man just said. See, he got it. The Pharisees didn't. Leaders of the church didn't. But it was this barbarian guy who actually got it. You talk about the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross and he's dying. And they said it was so bad, and I just can't get past this, that it was so bad that his face was so mangled they couldn't even recognize who he was, which should have been a message to everybody around that this wasn't just a normal execution. This wasn't just a normal crucifixion, right? And so he's there, and he's hanging on the cross, and people start mocking him. The leaders of the church, they're mocking him. Everybody's mocking him. They put up the sign that says, Hail Jesus, King of the Jews. Did they think he was King of the Jews? No, they were just making fun of him the whole time, saying that this is what he said he was. And then they started saying, Save yourself if you're the king. Save yourself, come down from the cross. Save yourself if you're the king. And then the one thief on the one side chimed in and he said, yeah, go ahead, save yourself if you're the king, save yourself. The other thief, he says, don't you fear God? Don't you understand you and I are getting what I deserve, but he's innocent? Jesus, is there any way? I mean, Jesus, my life's been horrible. I'm a thief and I'm being executed and I'm getting what I deserve. But Jesus, is there any way you could possibly remember me when you come to your kingdom? And Jesus said to him, I'll tell you the truth. You will be with me in paradise. So look at the ones who got it. The barbarian, the Roman guy, he got it. The thief on the cross, he got it. But who didn't get it? The ones who were in charge of Jesus' church. Because at the very moment Jesus was crucified, the temple veil was torn in two, which was a solid message to them that, man, he was the Son of God. And so what do? Well, they come back and they tell him, the ones from the guarding the tomb come back and tell the Sanhedrin what happened. They said, no, we're not going to go with that. No. We're going to say his disciples came and stole his body in the night. You see, no matter what, they didn't get it. They didn't have that aha moment of, wow, this is true. This is who Jesus is. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And you know what's interesting about that statement is that I've always been, and maybe you have as well, but I always want everybody to understand it. I always want everybody to get it. Every time the church in general or Christ in general is put down, I'm wishing that, I'm hoping that somehow that's going to change. But according to this, that's not going to change because that's the way it is. We're not going to see the world accept Christ for who he is. We're not going to see the world get it. That's why Jesus said it's a narrow road that gets it. And it's a broad road that leads to destruction. So it doesn't matter how many believe or how many get it. The question for you today is, do you get it? And what that means is your life centered on the person of Jesus? Is your life centered on the person that Jesus is the true answer for my life, and to the point where others don't even get it? Others don't even understand. Others may even look at you and think you're nuts, and they think you're crazy. Why do you even believe such a thing? That doesn't make any sense. And that shouldn't be a surprise, because right here it says the light shines in the darkness, but they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand it. Now, do we continue with evangelism? Yes, absolutely. Jesus commanded us to do that. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations. So yes, that's what we desire to do. But anytime we get flack or anytime we get pushback, it shouldn't frustrate us as much as it should just be a reminder that is what it is. Don't expect the dark, fallen world to accept this message. We should probably plan and accept to be in the minority, because that's what this is. So with the idea of Jesus being the light of the world, and it shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't understood it, the whole idea, because if you go into 1 John, it's when John says, hey guys, I want to tell you this is real, this is true, and I want to tell you how I know it. Because I saw him, I heard him, I touched him. He did rise from the dead. He is alive, and I write these things, why? So that you may have life in his name. I write these things, why? So that you may get it. The lesson that we learn from the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin is that we can be around the church our entire life. We can know what we believe our entire life. We can even know the scripture like they knew the scripture our entire life. We can even know what's right and what's wrong and do the good things and not do the bad things and still not get it. So the question then is this, the obvious question is, so Chad, if what you're saying is true, then hey, put me in, sign me up. I want to get it. How do I get it? How do I make sure I get it? I don't want to miss it. How do I get it? Well, getting it is, I guess you would say, it's quite simple. Getting it is just like this, saying, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Jesus, speak to me. And he will be faithful to do so, even if others don't understand, and even if others don't get it. Jesus, just show me what this means, because I don't want to miss it. I want to get it. I want to grasp who you are, and I want to understand. I want to comprehend it. I don't want to be in the dark on this. I just desire you. And it was the same thing that happened Christmas in July. It was the same thing that happened during the Christmas story when the shepherds were the ones who got it. They were the ones who ran and told everybody about the Christ child. It was Mary, the one that wasn't even accepted in her culture. She's the one who got it. And the list just goes on and on. And so I want to pray with you today that all of us would just say, Jesus, I want to get it. Jesus, I don't want to live my life in the darkness. I want to live my life with you, because I know that you give me life and I know that you give me light. And I know that you are the only way. Lord Jesus, I ask you today that you would show each of us what this means. Lord, you came because everything was so messed up. Everything was so disorganized. It didn't fit You came to put everything back into order. And today your desire is to put our lives back into order. And you're calling us to do so by following you, your life, and your light. And Lord, I pray right now in this moment that you would reveal yourself to each and every one of us in a way that we have never seen you before. You would speak to us in a way we have never heard you speak before. And that, Lord, today we would experience you. We would experience your life and your light more than ever. Show us, Lord, in our each individual lives, show us what it means to comprehend this, understand, show us what it means to get it. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.